Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Scales Corporation Annual Results Conference Call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Andy Borland, Managing Director. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Scales full-year results announcement for the year ending 31 December 2019. With me today is Steve Kennelly, our CFO. Earlier this morning, we lodged our result with the NZX, which included a presentation pack that we'll base our comments on during this call. Steve and I will run through the slides, then we'll take questions, and if you've got any further questions after the call, we'll be available for the rest of the day. The agenda for today's slide pack is similar to previous years. We'll touch on the year's highlights, the financials for both the group and the divisions, aspects of capital management, sustainability, investment strategy, governance, and finally, the outlook for the coming year, including comments on the coronavirus issue. Turning to slide four and a summary of the year, Scales reported a record profit for the year of $121.6 million, which in part was supported by the gains on the sale of Polar Cold and Meateor New Zealand. Our underlying net profit of $36.4 million was ahead of last year and at the upper end of our previously issued guidance. Once again, the horticulture division produced an excellent result with a divisional EBITDA of $39.7 million. The mixed regional market returns have been well documented, and whilst Mr. Apple wasn't immune, our varietal mix and focus on premium apples ensured that the weighted average sales price for our apples remained firm. The orchard team delivered another outstanding crop, with volumes of 3.8 million TCEs only just down on the record 2018 crop, notwithstanding significant levels of redevelopment in the intervening period. During 2019, we also achieved a dominant mix of premium apples. The food ingredients division retained its positive momentum and is well positioned for future growth opportunities. We had the first full year of trading from Shelby, and we were very pleased, both financially and strategically, from the performance of this investment. Moving on to the next slide, this highlights some of the principal financial operational numbers for the group. To mention some of them, the horticulture division exported almost 6 million cartons of apples during 2019. Scales Logistics freighted almost 40,000 TEU equivalents, and the food ingredients division sold 111,000 metric tonnes of pet food ingredients, a step change thanks to the acquisition of Shelby at the end of 2018. We reported another record revenue result of $485 million, the increase being principally from the prior year due to Shelby. And we continue to have a strong balance sheet with $105 million in net cash available for investment. Moving to slide six, Scales remains committed to reinvesting the proceeds from divestment. Our investment attention is focused on three areas for investment. Firstly, organic growth opportunities that strengthen our existing business units. This includes a $12 million investment in a new cool store alongside our largest packhouse at Waka 2. The cool store will take advantage of the latest technologies and with improved design and centralisation of post-harvest operations expected to generate meaningful cost efficiencies when it is completed. The food ingredients division is also exploring a number of growth opportunities, including New Zealand-led opportunities in the new joint venture company, as well as opportunities in the USA through Shelby. A second area of focus is acquisition growth opportunities that strengthen our existing business units. And we're also investigating investment opportunities and in new sectors where we can add value from our existing sales networks, operational experience, or China connections. We have reviewed and are continuing to review a number of acquisition opportunities. I'll now hand over to Steve Kennelly to comment on group financial performance.
Thanks, Andy. The table on the right of slide 8 summarises our reported and underlying results. Reported revenues were up 20% on last year, due mainly to the acquisition of Shelby. Reported profit for the year includes gains on the sale of Polar Cold, $73 million including interest, and from the part sale of Meteor New Zealand, a total of $19.6 million. A decrease in underlying earnings is largely due to the exclusion of Polarcold, Liquio and Meteor New Zealand's businesses from the consolidated group results in 2019, partly offset by the inclusion of Shelby's results. With the group now carrying a net cash position, our focus is on underlying NPAT as the best indicator of trends in long-term financial performance. And we note that 2019 underlying NPAT was up 2% on 2018. The charts on slide 9 show our group 5-year performance history at an underlying EBITDA and NPAT level. The historic results haven't been adjusted for businesses that have been divested or acquired, so they reflect the changes in group structure, particularly over 2018 and 2019. Moving on to the next slide, the charts here show the 5-year underlying EBITDA trends for our three divisions. In this case, the logistics division chart has been restated to exclude Polarcold and Liquio. Slides 11 and 12 summarise our financial position, which reflects both strategic and IFRS changes. The 2019 balance sheet excludes Polarcold and 50% of the Meteor New Zealand business. However, it includes the impact of IFRS 16, with a $79 million right-of-use lease asset and an $80 million lease liability now recognised on the balance sheet. Working capital changes are mostly due to the removal of Meteor New Zealand's business and operations from the group accounts, whilst an increase in fixed assets, excluding the IFRS 16 assets, reflects ongoing capital expenditure, mostly within horticulture. On slide 12, we can see the effect of our M&A activity, resulting in a net cash position at 31 December of almost $105 million. At 31 December, Scales held nearly $160 million in cash and term deposits, which are available on short notice for investment opportunities. I'll hand back to Andy for a review of divisional performance.
Moving to horticulture, once again, this division generated record revenue of almost $265 million, an increase of 4%. This was driven by a higher than expected own grown apple crop together with a 9% increase in external grower volumes. Underlying divisional EBITDA and EBIT were $39.7 million and $30.9 million respectively. These were excellent results, especially having regard to the mixed regional market returns. We are satisfied with our long-term strategic decisions made over the past 12 years have immunised this business well for such market events. In addition to continuing to redevelop orchards, Mr. Apple was attuned to movements in its profitability margins and more specifically initiatives to improve EBIT margin over the medium term. Some of these initiatives include investments on orchard and across our post-harvest infrastructure to improve efficiencies through layout, the use of automation and technology, and having key infrastructure within close proximity of each other. I previously mentioned Mr. Apple's investment in a new cool store, which in addition to business efficiencies is expected to significantly reduce truck movements and our carbon footprint as well. As recent developments come into maturity, we would expect to see a net improvement in margin from 2022. Charts on slide 15 track the long-run performance of Mr. Apple, showing the growth in export volumes since 2011. As previously mentioned, the 2019 is a strong result having regards to recent orchard redevelopment. We are also pleased to report a crop mix where premium volumes now outnumber traditional. Strong volume growth was achieved in New Zealand Queen, up 18%, High Colour Sports of Royal Gala and Fuji, up 9%, and other premium apples including Dazzle, Posy and Rose and others. Slide 16 summarises horticulture's main KPIs. Our weighted average FOB price was similar to 2018. This reflected the change in mix, improved pricing for premium varieties, offset by more mixed results for traditional varieties, and was despite smaller fruit size. We also benefited from small but positive FX movements with existing cover in place. Mr. Apple expects to achieve similar FX rates in 2020 as achieved in 2019. Total export of volumes across the division increased by 2% to nearly 6 million TCEs. Slide 17. We believe our long-term investments in orchard redevelopment have positioned Mr Apple well to deliver consistent results, with strong diversification of our exposure to any one region or variety. It is our belief that a multi-premium variety strategy is more attractive to global retailers and positions Mr Apple's harvest at the front of the line for each season. Mr Apple is nearing the end of its second phase of orchard redevelopment. This phase involves 175 hectares of orchards with 143 hectares completed and the remaining 32 hectares scheduled for the upcoming winter. This program is focused on premium varieties where we have proprietary interests such as Dazzle and Posy. The board consistently reviews the market prospects for our existing varieties and a further phase of orchard redevelopment may be likely. Slide 18, our market strategies run in conjunction with and support our orchard strategy. 2019 saw increased marketing activations and taking place, particularly in Asia and the Middle East, to support increased volume of export sales to these regions. We continue to move towards retail and e-commerce sales channels, with these now comprising around half of all sales. We note that whilst e-commerce represents only 2% of all volume sold, in the markets where this channel is being used, such as China, e-commerce represents a higher proportion of sales. We are pleased to see sales in China grow considerably from about 10% of all fruit sold in 2018 to 17% of all fruit sold in 2019. The strong volume growth reflects multiple factors, including our ongoing in-market efforts, support from our cornerstone shareholder China Resources, support from Primary Collaboration New Zealand, and a smaller domestic crop in China. Because of this last factor, we expect that China will represent a smaller percentage of sales in 2020. In 2019, we launched Posy in China. Posy is a red, very early apple. Posy has already been picked this year, and a special air freight shipment was sent to China in early February for sales in selected high-end supermarkets and online platforms such as Venlai and JD.com. The market feedback from this shipment has been very positive, with JD.com selling out of all their stock within a week. A photo of an in-store display of Posy is included towards the back of the slide pack. This particular photo has been taken at an Olay store, which is owned and operated by China Resources. Slide 19. In our 2018 annual results announcement, we provided a volume outlook for the horticulture division reflecting actual and expected redevelopment. This slide has been updated to reflect actual redevelopments, including both new orchard and plantings and orchard redevelopment, and movements in other orchard land, including small leases that may have been taken on or discontinued through the year. The updated volume forecast still sees a softening in volumes, albeit less than that previously forecast, with volumes increasing beyond 4 million cartons in the 2023 season. Assuming 2019 apple prices are maintained and based on expectations for off prices for new varieties, we would expect that the weighted average New Zealand FOB price per TCE would increase to approximately 37 by 2023. Slide 20, moving to food ingredients. In a year of change, food ingredients has retained its history of positive momentum, both in terms of financial results and opportunities ahead. As shown in this slide, the Shelby acquisition significantly enhanced the volumes of pet food ingredients sold by the division, as well as driving strong increases in reported revenue and earnings. This is offset by the loss of Meateor New Zealand operations from consolidated results following this part sale of Meateor in March. Both Shelby and the JV are progressing well. Both businesses have a number of organic opportunities, growth opportunities ahead of them that they are working hard to develop. Profruit has also continued to operate well with juice concentrates volumes in line with last year. Slide 21. In terms of a strategy for the food ingredients division, we believe our initial investments have provided it with a basis for continued growth and set it on the journey of becoming a 25 million EBITDA division. Market research suggests the worldwide pet food ingredients sector is an attractive investment proposition, with the worldwide pet care industry being estimated over US $100 billion and growing. By itself, the China pet food market is valued at US $1.7 with continued growth forecast. Our opportunity to participate in the China market has been significantly enhanced as a result of the recent US-China trade agreement, as we touch on in more detail in the outlook section. Our global strategy is to be a key provider of pet food ingredients to a wide range of international brands, and our transactions in this area provides us with significant foothold towards satisfying this strategy. Slide 22, logistics, 122 years old and still evolving. 2019 was also a year of change for our logistics division, with the Polarcold settlement in May resulting in an update to the division's name. For this reason, we've chosen to show only the results from logistics within the table to the right. 2019 saw a return to long-run performance for Scales Logistics following an especially strong 2018 year, which benefited from large air freight volumes due to initial pipe fill orders for our customers. The increase in sea freight and reduction in air freight volumes marks a return to normal trading patterns for this division. Given the recent growth in Australasian agricultural products, together with Scales Logistics specialist expertise in moving food and perishable produce, we believe there are opportunities to grow this division. Accordingly, we're seeking and reviewing suitable prospects, both organic and by acquisition. So moving across to slide 24, performance against benchmarks. The group achieved a return on capital employed, or ROCE, of 16% in 2019, ahead of our long-run target of 15%. ROCE remains our primary long-run objective and performance measures, which we will continue to use and in a performance measure which we will continue to use to assess all organic and acquisition growth opportunities. We expect that ROCE will remain at or above about 2019 levels until 2022 as investments in the horticulture division mature. Capital expenditure, slide 25 summarises our CapEx for the year. Total CapEx was 15.7, with $15 million spent on Mr Apple, on, amongst other things, orchard redevelopment and RSE accommodation upgrades. That's recognised seasonal employer scheme upgrades. The accommodation upgrades improve both the availability of as well as the standard of living for our RSE workers. Further investments in orchard redevelopment, RSE accommodation and initial expenditure on the Whakatū cool store mean that CapEx is likely to exceed $25 million in 2020. Moving to sustainability and the environment. We know that meeting our sustainability goals won't be a sprint to the finish. Instead, it'll be a journey where we're smart about what we do and how we do it in the most sustainable way possible. Since starting this journey and appointing Karen Morris as the Group Health and Safety Compliance and Sustainability Manager, we've come a long way. This slide outlines only a few of the year's highlights, but in the background, we've continued to make incremental progress in a wide range of areas. Of note, this year, our second carbon footprint audit showed a slight reduction. The energy audit showed excellent energy management. And Mr Apple has put a comprehensive environmental plan in place with a team of over 20 people meeting quarterly to track progress and innovate. Sustainability, people and safety. The subheading on slide 28 sums up our business. It's all about our people. We undertook a second group-wide staff engagement survey this year and we're pleased to have seen an increase in engagement to 61%. However, one of the outcomes of the survey is that business units have been tasked with investigating ways they can engage with staff and communicate smarter. Leadership, bullying and harassment and mental health awareness has also been a big focus for us in the past year, and whilst this has been Mr Apple's centric, our plan has rolled out across other divisions this year. Also, as previously mentioned, we made significant investment in the community, living environment and infrastructure for our critical RSE scheme and seasonal workers, without whom our growth would have been curtailed. We've continued to apply a high level of attention to health and safety with several improvements such as forklift training and traffic management being put in place. Again, one of the key roles for 2020 will be to share learnings and resources around all businesses within the Scales Group. The governance and outlook. In terms of governance, Tomikin Lai and Nadine Tunley, our new board appointees in 2019, have provided us with complementary skills and expertise at the board table throughout the year. In addition, we continue to benefit from the breadth of experience and talent from the Institute of Directors Future Directors Program, with this year having Gemma McCowan attend our board meetings. We intend to maintain participation in this program going forward. Moving to the outlook. The impact on Scales and Mr Apple in particular from the COVID-19 outbreak remains uncertain at this time. It is expected that any impact may be mitigated by a few factors. Mr Apple is expecting a more balanced global supply situation in 2020 with sales more equally focused between Europe, UK and Asia. Initial shipments to Asia are scheduled to arrive in market in early March and to China in mid-March. No issues with shipping to non-China markets have been experienced to date. There appears to be a strong pipeline of sales from the e-commerce channel in Asia, balancing out a potential reduction of in-store sales. A dedicated in-house logistics operation and our agents throughout Asia remain confident of the actions of authorities to facilitate a flow of food products in particular. Scales is pleased to contribute product to those impacted through our agents to support those communities most affected by the COVID-19 outbreak. In the horticulture division, the apple harvest is underway and early indications suggest a crop in line with forecast, as sales volumes are expected to reflect a bounce back in sales to Europe, and we continue our marketing and branding efforts. Whilst it remains early in the season, the indications remain supportive. In the food ingredients divisions, the one-off challenges we had in 2019 are not expected to be repeated, meaning that we expect further improvement in performance from this division in 2020. Both Shelby and the division's other pet food interests are expected to benefit from the medium term from the inclusion of pet food in the recent US-China trade agreement, which provides for improved and faster access for these products. As always, these benefits are conditional on the continuing good political relations with the parties involved. Nevertheless, we remain cautiously optimistic. Gales Logistics also expects to meet its trading targets. The board has reaffirmed its previous guidance for 2020 for the underlying net profit of between 30 and 36 million, which implies an underlying EBITDA range of between 49 and 59 million. That concludes today's formal presentation, although we point you towards Appendix 1 of the presentation pack, which provides additional financial information to reconcile underlying earnings to reported earnings for each of our divisions as well as the group. At this time, we'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. The first question comes from Guy Hooper with Forsyth Barr. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, team. I suppose just on the first question, on your food ingredients business, could you just provide a bit more colour as to where you see that growth, hitting that $25 million target, whereabouts you see that coming from? Is it driven predominantly by one area, Shelby, Medial New Zealand, or is it a bit more broad-based?
Well, we certainly, have ambitions for all, three of those areas growing. I guess in particular, we would see a couple of new projects underway implementing this year, last year and this year in Shelby that will provide, impetus for growth for sure. So it's definitely across the board, but pretty excited about what's possible in the, large USA market, particularly with Shelby.
Yeah, I suppose just digging into that a bit more, can you provide, what markets is Shelby mainly selling into? China obviously called out as an opportunity here. Is that, building on existing volume or is it a brand new market? And then, I suppose, in addition, is this an expansion of your current sales product or do you see opportunity to move into value-added products?
China is sort of a more of a medium term opportunity clearly USA manufacturers and brands will be excited about this change in trade policy. So they'll be sending more product to China, we think, in the future. So Shelby supplies these brands, so does Medior. So we sort of see an opportunity for Medior and the JV, our Australian business and Shelby to provide more product there. But with Shelby itself, the initiatives we've put in place are, for example, we put in a new equipment in our Amarillo, Texas plant that's, just a new product line. It's not, you'd call it value add, but it's certainly just supplying more product to our existing, customer base in America. And, it's a fast-growing market up there, so doing more business with our key customers is the major focus.
Yeah, thanks. Just one last one from me, I suppose, on coronavirus. You know, have you actually seen any disruption to date on sales? And then secondly, you know, how much flexibility do you have if you can't, I suppose, ship all the volume you want to into China to move it to other markets?
No disruption at this stage. You know, as we said earlier, the air freight of the Posey went, you know, well. There's ships, you know, on the water now. The orders are as expected. The programs are set up. We were on a call yesterday at a board meeting with our China Resources, you know, director. Tomikin Lai was on the call from Hong Kong. China Resources are a massive state-owned enterprise. They've been, you know, one of their jobs has been sent to the Wuhan area to build a hospital. That's they're one of the parties building those hospitals, for example. But I mean, they have huge logistics businesses, and they were saying the area is not, I guess, under, you know, these strict lockdowns are generally getting back into action. That's what he was saying yesterday, back to work. And prioritised at the port is vegetables. Prioritised at the port is medical equipment. And just below that, I guess, in the next layer, where, you know, we've heard that fruit and other produce is prioritised, you know, to get through the ports and through customs. So, yes, it's a developing situation, but, you know, we've not, I guess, seen, you know, dramatic disruption from, you know, this. Clearly, Chinese New Year was disruption with, you know, the whole place sort of locked down, but it is, if you like, you know, starting to get back into mode because they need those imported food products up there. What was the second part of your question?
The second part was just if there was, I suppose, additional disruption to shipping, you know, how much flexibility do you have to sell into other markets?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, that's a beautiful. I mean, the diverse markets and diverse varieties has always been a benefit to Mr. Apple, and we continue to believe that there will be more fruit going to Europe this year than there was last year. You know, we've got a bigger fruit size this year, colour's good, so we're, you know, in a way our crop quality is, you know, is up on last year because we had that, that smaller fruit. So the larger fruit profile gives you access to even more markets. So now at this stage, you know, whilst yes, there's a lot of uncertainty around the lot where this virus outbreak is going to end up, but at this stage, you know, we're in sort of you know, I guess business as usual mode to the extent possible.
Yeah, thanks guys. That's all for me.
Thank you. The next question comes from Jack Crowley with Jarden. Please go ahead.
Morning, team. First one from me, just wondering if you could provide a little bit of colour about how you're thinking about demand conditions in China this year, and I guess in particular, given that you've had an opportunity to test demand with the kind of air freighted advanced Posey shipments to date. I guess just trying to weigh up the factors of kind of a stronger domestic China crop versus possibly a shift back towards kind of internationally provided produce, given a lack of domestic confidence in the supply chain over there, and the kind of retail chain versus kind of wholesale supplier, I suppose kind of wet market purchasing balance that you'd ordinarily see in China.
Yeah, look, I think you're right. There's a bigger new Chinese crop in the market, and that's why China went so well for us last year with that shorter crop they had. But we're sort of seeing air demand, I guess, in a different market to that domestic crop. So we're in that market where the consumer's looking for high-quality imported fruit product. And, you know, the Mr. Apple brand is the most, strongly followed in the market. So, you know, at this stage, our programs are looking, if you like, at our expectations. price might be off a little bit, but the prices were incredibly good last year. So I think, you know, from our perspective, you know, we're not seeing, you know, any dramatic downturn in programs for our New Zealand crop going into China. I think if you think about channels, yes, the e-channel has really ramped up with the COVID-19 virus, and what's happening there is, you know, our sales to even a store like Pagoda, for example, they have e-channel, as does China Resources with their new form. They have e-channel, if you like, distribution connections, which, you know, our fruit is expected to, you know, flow to those channels.
Got it. Thank you. That's very helpful. Second one from me, I guess, obviously there was a bit of a kind of a regional mixed story that you've pointed to this year, and I guess understand the bias of Europe more towards kind of traditional apples, but are you able to provide some colour just on the extent to which you think that 10% decline in traditional apple prices was a kind of a Braeburn factor, and whether that'll be overcome with the kind of orchard redevelopment program, or if you think that 10% is all kind of indicative of the underlying kind of softer Europe market?
No, I think you're onto it. You know, we were clear about that. I thought at the last announcement at Braeburn was, you know, it was a challenge for us, and the volume was sort of high. We've regrafted a lot of our own. We told our outside growers to do the same. We're incenting them, or not incenting them. We're, if you like, penalising them if they don't reduce their Braeburns. So, you know, we're sort of targeting on our pools, very clear signals to them to reduce their Braeburn volumes. So it's going, you know, that is certainly the variety that was most challenged in Europe last year. And, you know, this year's crop from New Zealand is going to be significantly down from last year's volume, and you know, driven by across the board, you know, people doing the redevelopment. So very much that reduction in price was almost all attributable to Braeburn, and, you know, we're going to have to keep looking at it in terms of its volume in the orchard.
Okay, that's very helpful. Next one from me, I'll try and be kind of relatively quick. In terms of the pet food ingredients business, I guess what we've seen is some supply chain issues with kind of red meat in New Zealand and the cool stores filling up pretty quickly. And then obviously the price is kind of off pretty significantly for lamb and beef over the last few months, probably with a lack of domestic food service demand in China as well. Do you think there's an opportunity for you guys to pick up raw materials for pet food ingredients well below what you have throughout the course of this fiscal year, and is that something that we should be contemplating as an earnings driver into 2020?
Look, generally we buy for, you know, for reasonable periods of time. You know, we buy for the 2019-20 killing season, and we then sell that same product. So year's story, that one, but generally we're sitting in the middle with the buy and then the sell, so it's lower prices probably do help in a little bit, particularly, you know, with the big manufacturers looking to maybe include more of it if it's at a lower price, like some lamb and venison. So yeah, I think possible benefit, but I guess the general flows are that, you know, the pet food material does need to leave their plants. They can't stockpile it at the plant. So we have to, you know, the process of us taking it is a very much a necessity. And you know, really, we are providing sort of a service there, if you like. But no, I think it should be net positive, but, you know, not huge. Impactful though.
Got it, thank you. And final one from me, I'll stop monopolising the call shortly. I guess just wanting to get a bit of clarity. There was a comment in the pack around margin improvement from 2022 in the horticulture division. Is that kind of signalling that you expect margins to track down for a time and then kind of start to recover from 2022, or that you think 2022 margins will be above current levels, or yeah, could you just kind of I suppose provide a little bit more detail on what the exact kind of message being communicated there is?
Well, I think that's a function of, yes, margins are a challenge at the moment, you know, the labour rates particularly going up. So the work we're doing to mitigate at the moment is around the technology, the less people in the pack house. Technology has driven us to a more technology in our bins, so that we've linked that to our payroll, so we've had a lot less people in our pay administrations area. So those sort of initiatives are underway. But in 2022, we're really talking about, you know, our Dazzle and our Posy kicking in at reasonable volumes at higher prices as a, in a way, a mitigant to the pressure on costs.
Got it. So not a signal about kind of where margins go in the interim between now and 2022, just what you see is happening in that particular year.
Yeah, we're fighting to hold the current margin, I think we talk about in the pack, and then improve 2022 with these when the next phase of the redevelopment kicks in at the higher prices.
Great, thank you. I will leave it leave things for now and might jump back in the queue if there's time afterwards. I appreciate the time.
Thank you. The next question comes from Hugh Stringleman with the Farmers Weekly. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Andy. I wonder if you could comment on the reduction in share price of almost a dollar over the last 3 months, and maybe the thick end of that might have been, market expectations of coronavirus impacts on your trade. And secondly, why does the board delay the declaration of a dividend for 3 months or so, please?
Oh, thanks. Well, the share price, I have to, hard for me to speculate on that one. I think the market's, market's the market on that one. Clearly, this last two or three or month, there's probably been a COVID-19, impact on all of New Zealand's, listed agribusiness companies. That's the market, making its decisions and its investment decisions as they do. On the board delaying the dividend, I think we're in a flow now. It's a pattern we're in. It does give us an opportunity to declare and pay that later in the year to see what this year's harvest is like. So it's the key driver of our financial performance. I think at the moment it would have to be a fairly bad harvest for us not to pay a dividend, at the same level as last year because of this net cash position we're in, and we've stated that. So, it's just the flow we're in, and I think it's it works for us, and we're going to probably continue to do it.
Yeah, I'm speculating that maybe some of that share price fall might be due to an expectation that the company would pay more of the sale proceeds out and back to shareholders. Have you got a comment on that, please?
Well, we've been very clear about that we're not going to pay the money back as a return of capital in this near medium term because, the COVID virus is here today and obviously it's a concern, but net-net, we feel that New Zealand agribusiness, across the universe is a very positive place to invest. Where we can add value through our networks, add value through exports, add value through our China connections, we'll be wanting to reinvest that money, hopefully at a 15% ROCE, and people would enjoy that.
Mm-hmm. Good-o. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Chris Byrne with Craigs Investment Partners. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Just on your your volumes into China last year. You said moved sort of from 10 to 17% and you think it'll drop off again in the coming year. Is that sort of your decision or the market's decision? Because I guess in context, the amount you export into China vis-a-vis their domestic crop is quite small. So just in terms of, and you, I guess you participate in a different segment. So is it your decision to sort of pull back from China a little bit in the coming year, and if the European market is better or other markets, or is that something where, you know, the demand falls? I just, can you just provide a bit more colour around the dynamics there?
I guess the China market last year, because of their ultimate domestic crop being short and our crop being smaller than average, they took that smaller crop, you know, that air smaller count sizes, you know, the demand for that out of China was very strong last year, so we followed the market, if you like. We've always have a pattern of following the market. So we directed a lot of fruit there to access that demand. This year, it's probably just more of a reaction to a more normal count size. Those count sizes will have strong demand elsewhere, and probably just a reversion to more normal trade. Yeah, I'd say that's it, Chris.
Okay. And just in terms of your capital management, I mean, what sort of debt levels would you guys be comfortable with? In terms of looking for acquisitions and internal investment, you know, are you sort of willing to give sort of one and a half times EBITDA? Is that something you guys would be comfortable, or are you not sort of going to give guidance around that at this stage?
Yeah, we've always sort of thought around two probably as maximum.
Okay, that's great. And in terms of the sweet spot for stuff you're looking at, I mean, what are the sort of EBITDA multiples of businesses that have come across your desk over the last sort of 12 to 18 months? And where are you sort of, where would your sweet spot be?
Sweet spot's in the really low, low, low number ones.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Okay. That's it from me.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Hamish Sharma with Pathfinder Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, guys. I just had a quick one around the investment of the capital that you guys are holding on to. Correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, just with this Apple Cool Storage investment, and I think you guys made a brief comment there saying that, you know, you're looking at organic opportunities now, over and above acquisitions. Is that just a function, or firstly, is that true? And secondly, is that a function of not being able to find a targeted investment at a reasonable price? And just following on from that, do you think this coronavirus uncertainty could motivate some sellers of target businesses which you're looking at, across the agri space?
Hmm. Yeah, well, the Cool Store and investing in our existing businesses is a part of our strategy. That's just, again, looking for more efficiency in existing business, more growth in our existing businesses. So we've sort of been very clear that we are very happy to grow further in apples, further in pet food ingredients, further in logistics. And then, you know, and that's because we understand those sectors and we've sort of got good, skills, resources in that areas. Looking outside, we definitely see, as I mentioned earlier, strong opportunities in the food and fibre part sector of New Zealand and this part of the world to supply high quality premium food to discerning markets. So we sort of see, when you're overseas selling with Mr. Apple in New Zealand, you get strong demand, and we could see that in other products. So that's what interests us there. And we are, I guess looking to be disciplined around, our ROCE targets as well. So it's just being diverse is also an area that we're quite comfortable going. I think it strengthens our business when we're more diverse. So bringing on a new division, that's delivering sustainable ROCEs is certainly an ambition.
Yeah, okay. So, I guess just phrasing it another way, you're not wedded to make an acquisition for the sake of it. You do see potential to maybe deploy that whole $100 million through organic opportunities if they arose, or?
Yep, could be, definitely. But definitely also have a, you know, we were more diverse prior when we had the polar cold and the liquio, but, so we like diversity, but, you know, definitely not, you know, if the right opportunity come along and these other divisions of logistics, or, and our logistics, food ingredients and apples slash, you know, that would be, you know, definitely an option for us, because we know those sectors so well and we have strengths in those sectors.
Yeah, cool. But I guess to date, and I know you may not be able to provide any colour on it, but you haven't seen, you know, people who may have been quite, you know, sensitive on price, they haven't come back to you knocking on your door, given the recent uncertainty with the coronavirus and things like that?
No, I don't think it's sort of linked to coronavirus at this stage. I think that's sort of just happened, really. But it's more people, I think, you know that we're sitting here looking for growth, and you know, we're really keen to join with partners that, you know, want to, you know, bring if you like their teams along and operate under the Scales umbrella. You know, we're supplying them with investment support. We're supplying them with contacts and access into Asia. You know, we're very keen to capitalise on our, you know, our relationship with our strategic shareholder and China Resources and their supermarket, you know, networks and other food distribution networks. I think, you know, a lot of other food types or agribusinesses could benefit from being part of that with us.
Cool. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. The next question comes from David Oxley with ACC. Please go ahead.
Hi, yeah, morning, guys. Just a quick couple of questions on horticulture, if I may. I noticed the full-year EBITDA number was unusually for you guys below that which you recorded at the half-year, which, if I understand the accounting around IAS 41 correctly, suggests that some of the inventory valuations that you assumed at the half-year turned out to be, with hindsight, slightly optimistic. I wonder if you could just comment on where the key variances were in that regard and whether we should be concerned about any of that persisting into the current period.
I'll answer the last bit first, Dave, so no, there'd be nothing carried over into the current period. It's not really a case of not estimating the apple value correctly. It's more a case of that... If you get it right, then what you've got in that second half of the year is a half year of fixed costs and then just a small amount of revenue from the commission on outside grower sales. So the normal flows would be that that second half would be a small loss. So it's not unusual. And maybe our estimation of the apple value at half year is getting better.
Okay, thank you. And secondly, within the 265 odd mil of horticulture revenue, can you give us a steer on how much of that is non-apple export revenue? I think you have kind of various ancillary service revenue and other revenue in there. How much of the 265 was that, please?
Sorry, I haven't got a breakdown of that, David, and it's not something we've ever provided previously.
Yeah, I mean, it was in the PFI, wasn't it? But you haven't got an approximation?
No,
that was 6 years ago, David.
Sorry, no, I haven't got an approximation.
Are you talking about...
Okay, I'm just trying to get to a number whereby... obviously, you give us steer on the FOB price, and if we multiply that by the volumes that you give, we're a bit short relative to the 265. So I guess I'm trying to come up with an approximation for what the CIF price might be for your apple exports to help with the modelling.
Yeah, sorry. Look, I don't think I can help you out, particularly on this call. We could have a look maybe of maybe expanding our disclosure for the future, but at this stage I don't have a breakdown of that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Borland for closing remarks.
Yeah, well, thanks for joining the call. We look forward to updating you later in the year of any updates we can give, and also happy to take further questions separately if you have some. Thank you very much. Cheers. Bye.